This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. You know, many people are having issues abiding by the quarantine to stop the spread of COVID-19. Why is being isolated such a problem for some people? Professor of Media Studies at Middle Tennessee State University, Dr. Katie Foss, explains why this is truly an issue. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Foss.
Thank you for having me.
When it comes to people, especially when you were reading so much about those spring breakers, just going to spring break without a care in the world, why would people decide to do this knowing the risk that they're taking?
I think it's because they don't realize that they are at risk too, or don't perceive themselves as at risk, especially because we've had a lot of media coverage that has really hyped this up as a disease that particularly affects senior citizens. College students are having a hard time seeing themselves as an at-risk group.
But why dismiss the warnings? I mean, don't you love your parents enough?
I think that it's because the risk feels distant or just not intense enough for them to heed the warning. Especially when we think about a college age group, it's really hard when you're in that time period in your life to really kind of assess risk, especially a risk in the moment or a risk that doesn't feel like it's directly affecting you.
It's funny you say this because I couldn't help but to think of my mother. She's been having a really tough time not being able to see her grandkids. And my sister, she's doing this whole isolation thing. And my mom's like, hey, what if I just drop food off in front of the door and they can wave at me like from the window? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mom, you know, my sister's daughter, she's asthmatic. She takes albuterol at night. Yep. I was like, she's a big risk. And she's like, but I'm just going from the outside. I mean, even my mother, who's in her early 60s, is having issues with this social distancing.
My parents are too. They're the same way. And they don't quite get, they want to have each family over for Easter, like separately, but that's still a big issue. It's a big risk. I think that at least if you're not in a hot spot right now, it still feels really far away. Especially if you're in a group that isn't used to thinking about risk, in the way that I think especially parents with kids still at home think about risk in a different way than college students or even senior citizens who are desperate for any kind of social contact.
And you know what? My mother's such an extrovert. She's like a social butterfly. She always needs to be around people, and she's having such difficulty with this. Do you think that it'll affect people who are extroverts like that, that this isolation is going to affect their emotional health?
Oh, I definitely think it already has. And as an extrovert myself, I can definitely feel it. But I think that having our social media outlets really help with that. At least we're in a time in which we can connect with other people directly and immediately, even if it's not face-to-face, in a way that you wouldn't have been able to in 1918, where you could write a letter to someone, but that's not the same, again, as that immediate feedback.
Now, there's a lot of things coming out about people who are the social isolation and how it's affecting even the things that we didn't think about, where kids in northern Texas are being abused more, physically abused more, because they don't have that outlet of school. I mean, as a community, do you think things are going to change a little bit now that we're more aware of these situations?
I would hope so, and I would hope that when this all subsides and we can start to get back to our new normal version of reality, that we'll be more aware of different social issues and disparities across groups when a crisis strikes, and perhaps have better plans put in play. But I know that it's not just kids that are experiencing more abuse if they're already in abusive homes, but also partner abuse, of course, is a huge risk during this kind of time.
Yeah, I was reading too, a man thought he was positive for coronavirus and he wasn't. And he tried to do a suicide by cop. And I was like, that was really extreme. I mean, he had pre-existing conditions and he thought, I'm dead anyways. He called 911, said, hey, guys, come shoot me. And they did, but he survived. And it's just, you know, this kind of cracks in our system seems to be showing more and more. What can we do as a society? Because I feel like this is so huge that this was a big blind side that we've never seen before. I mean, as a person who's just part of a community, is there something that we could do for these people?
Well, I think right now while we're in the midst of crisis, what we can do, at least in an individual level, is make sure that we're reaching out to people who might be having an exceptionally tough time, who might be alone, might be isolated from family and friends. I think that once cases dwindle and things start to get back to normal, that's when we really need to up our game in terms of creating programs for moments of crisis, have plans so that, you know, we help those groups, especially those groups that we see right now are being left behind.
And you know what? I like that you keep saying back to normal, because back to normal is back to being like in my own personal bubble where I only want to see the people I want to see and do what I want to do. And the sense of community that we have right now, where we're going out and talking to our neighbors because we're kind of forced to at this point. I mean, how long will this last where we're still talking to our neighbors?
Well, I'm hoping that this experience for all of us will remind us once we are in that new normal to reach out to people in a way that we never had, just because we can remember what this time is like. And there'll be some adjusting just back to the way things were, but I think that the apathy we had before hopefully will be changed by our experiences now.
It's so tough staying inside. Myself, I'm an introvert. I'm always inside with my nose to a book, so I never really have a problem with this whole thing. It's like I opened up the curtains and said, we're in self-isolation. I do this every day. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with staying inside, but people like my mother and my sister who think that this doesn't apply to them, how can I convince people just stay home?
I think that more than statistics and more than charts and graphs, which can help visually illustrate the danger, I think a lot of the testimony coming out of the people in New York and New Jersey and other hotspots right now could be about the most influential thing that, or influential way to reach people that are difficult to reach in this time. Also pointing out what's closed. That's actually how I convinced my dad not to come down and visit right now, is that, okay, you could come, but what would we do? Right? What's the point when everything is shut down? If everything's shut down, that's telling us something, that we need to stay in our own isolated bubbles.
That's so true. The local bowling alley is closed down, and I was kind of shocked because that thing is open for during every time.
Right.
I mean, it reminds me of Waffle House. When Waffle House goes down, everybody knows it's a crisis. And I think
right now,
I think half of the Waffle House establishments are closed. So people are like, well, it's half and half. Is this a real danger or not a real danger?
Right. Or if your local gym is closed.
Yeah.
I think that was another big earmarker that there's, you know, a crisis going on.
Now, when it comes to social media, do you think that it's been helping people just choose to stay inside, or been not helpful at all?
I really think it depends on what sources people are looking at, what platforms, and who's in their social network. So I definitely think it helps with the social isolation. It helps for us to connect to each other, to not feel so alone, to keep updated, to make sure that, you know, our friends and family are okay. But at the same time, a lot of the misinformation has been spread not through news media, but through social media platforms. So people see something that someone else posted on Facebook, take it as fact, and then share it themselves, thus continuing to perpetuate misinformation.
I never understood that. Just turn on the TV, read a newspaper. Why do you trust Facebook so much, right?
I don't really understand, especially why do you trust memes and choose to recirculate memes with an introduction that suggests that you believe fully in the thing that you're spreading. I don't understand either.
I like memes, though. I like reading all memes, right? They're so entertaining.
I read them for entertainment, but let's not take them for information. That's how I take them.
Oh, absolutely. Grain of salt, right? I mean, whatever happened to the thought process that, hey, where's the source? Or research a little bit on the topic. I've done that where a meme was like spouting out truth, and I use quotes, and I'm like, no. Let me go see if this is real. And it turns out it came from like a spoof website, The Onion, right?
Oh, yeah. Or like the gargling salt thing. Yeah, I saw that attached to a multi-level marketer campaign to purchase essential oils or something. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Everybody needs to be looking at the source for information instead of just blindly believing whatever comes across your computer screen.
Now, we've mostly talked about the negative aspects of social isolation, but what about the positives? Is there anything great that we can take from this right now?
I do think we can, especially if the weather is nice. I think that really helps. I think that this time does encourage people to reflect a little bit on, you know, kind of the blessings in their lives. I think that parents with kids who are going crazy because they're attempting to sort of homeschool during a crisis are also getting a lot of extra bonding time with their kids and maybe finding out something new about them. We can think about the college students that are home with their parents are getting a lot of time that they probably usually don't have of uninterrupted time. And then we can also think about connecting with older relatives that we might not be able to see because, let's face it, this is a time where people have a lot of time. So making sure that we take that time to connect with phone calls or email or FaceTime, you know, and again, really appreciate what we have right now.
I will say, being an introvert, I don't like going to family events. It's just a big crowd, mm-hmm. so many people and noises and kids running around. It gets me all itchy. So I've been mm-hmm. calling everybody up individually, and I feel like I'm yeah. the hero here. I'm like, I can talk to you without all these mm-hmm. weird distractions, and it does feel really great to be able to communicate mm-hmm. with people, even if it's just by a phone call.
Absolutely, and everybody has a reason right now, and I think that in a way that can make that phone call easier than in our regular lives. That because, oh, I'm just checking to see how you're doing is definitely a reason to call and leading to more conversation. And in a way that, like you said, you might not get in a big family gathering.
Well, Dr. Foss, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can find out more about me on my website, profkatiefoss.com, in which I regularly post about epidemics, media literacy activities for kids, posts on writing and other topics. And I also have a book coming out, Constructing the Outbreak, Epidemics in Media and Collective Memory, which should be out hopefully sometime at the end of the summer.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.